This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what, no matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how all those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Nick Lecky on the line. You could follow him on Twitter, Mr. Lecky, MrLecky. Mr. Lecky is his handle. Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. I'm real good. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Very good. Your Twitter bio reads, co-host of In the Trenches, Kansas State alum, six-year NFL offensive lineman, Super Bowl champ, Big 12 champ, Grapevine High School. That says it all,
baby. Gotta represent, man. Gotta represent.
Why don't you put foodie or anything about food on there?
I don't know. I think it's implied. I don't like to give myself that label because I feel like, you know, you fall into a certain category when you say foodie. And I don't think I'm your typical foodie because I appreciate highbrow and I appreciate lowbrow and I don't discriminate. You know, good food tastes good whether it's from a dude in a taco bike or a tamale bike or, you know, from a high-end restaurant in, you know, a lovely city.
So you live your values as a person who loves food. You don't need to go out there and tell everybody about it because it's there to be seen.
Yeah, you know, I think if anyone, you guys know me, I mean, I don't ever like to toot my own horn, and I feel like your actions should display everything. And I feel like if you scroll through the nonsense that is my Twitter page, I think you'll see what I love. And you'll see what I love.
Let me toot your horn then. I'll toot your horn.
Oh, hey.
For you.
Hey there.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Listen to me.
All right, I can do that.
So I
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I missed a day last week, so I don't know if this is talked about, but I sure as hell didn't get a chance to talk about it cuz we're going to get to it right now.
Hmm.
You have a picture, and this has been like 10 days ago or 11 days ago. You
okay.
Said you have this tweet, I did something magical today. Combined corn nuts with a smushed avocado, I might never eat chips and guac again. When you say something like that,
yeah.
People that don't know you are what is your heritage, young man?
So I'm half Mexican and I'm half Canadian. So my mom is full on Mexican. Like I have, you know, let me go through my uncles and aunts in California. I have a Tio Lencho. I have a Tio Angel. I have a Tio Carmen. You know, we make tamales at Christmas time for family get togethers.
Thank you.
You know, and then, you know, my dad's side, RIP, was Canadian. So my parents are divorced, and I used to spend my summers up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. My dad got cussy, my sister and I. And up in British Columbia, in the Okanagan Valley, in beautiful Kamloops, British Columbia. So I'm a North American. I'm a product of North America.
And so both our mamas Mexican. And so when someone makes this type of statement that they might never eat chips and guac again, that's so bold. But it's so. I mean, I could never dream of it. But was it that good? Corn nuts with delicious avocado? Is that a real threat that you're making on social media to never eat chips and guac again because that was so good?
Okay, so I am a big fan of hearty, thick chips, right? I'm using the word hate here. My mother would be so upset. I hate thin tortilla chips. I hate.
You don't like that.
Chips.
It doesn't hold
like
up
that.
To the,
I mean,
dip or the guac
it.
Or the cheese or nothing.
You
there's nothing worse
so
than dipping a chip
talking?
In there and it breaks.
How thick are we
and
talking
it
here? You like a Frito? Because Fritos, they never break. You know, those things are like a quarter inch thick.
Scoops?
Yeah.
Scoops? The scoops? Yeah, scoops never break. So a little bit less than that. Because I feel with tortilla chips, you know, you can sort of cut your gums if it's too thick, right? So it's got to be the perfect.
Yeah, I cut the roof of my mouth all the time when I'm eating tortilla chips.
Right?
It's a real
thing.
I'm sure
no one's surprised I'm a fat kid, right? I'm an O-lineman, right? I adapted to my O-lineman at a very early age. So I like to get good leverage. Now, with corn chips, right, or with, not corn chips, with corn nuts, it's a pure thing, corn nuts, like corn, water, salt. You know, it's perfect, like just like Fritos. And you just put them in there, and they're hearty. You eat them with a spoon, and they provide great crunch. And while maximizing surface area of the guac or smushed avocado, because I didn't turn it into guac, which, by the way, guac to me is just avocado and garlic salt. I don't put any nonsense in it because I'm a guac purist.
You don't like some red onions in your guac?
No.
Ew, first of all, Playboy, yellow onions.
No. Nope.
Yellow onions.
Red onions.
Red onions suck.
No,
red onions are good on a burger, and that's it. Yellow onions are where it's at, man. That's the underrated onion.
Erroneous. It depends on what you're using the onion for.
It's too dominant.
I don't like when people put too much crap in the guac, man.
Yeah,
it ruins it to me.
It does.
Look, I love some smushed avocado, but I like some. And now Steven's going to get really mad at this.
Right.
Red onion and cilantro in my guacamole.
And then that's all you taste. That's all you. There's, you don't taste anything else.
Somebody then told me
just have a big spoonful of onion and cilantro. You know,
somebody told me that literally that this is a true thing, that for some people's taste buds, cilantro literally tastes like you're rubbing soap on your tongue.
Look, I am Mexican, yeah. I couldn't avoid it when I was a kid, but yeah, I have an aversion to it. I can't eat it.
And I
think because I had it so much when I was a kid, probably.
I never got that because I love cilantro, but somebody told me that there's like, they've studied it, and for some people, for their palate, it tastes, it's revolting. Like cilantro tastes like you're rubbing soap on your mouth. So I get it. Like if you don't like, so I was told if you don't like cilantro, like you really don't like cilantro.
It just overpowers everything to me. And then that's all you taste.
I mean, I respect that.
You know, Nick Leckie, we stand together. Jake, you've had no input on this, shockingly. What the hell?
So I leaned more
nothing
towards
to say.
I do have a lot to say, but no one really wants to hear it. But,
I just asked for it, so I want to hear it.
Well, I'm with you. A lot of garlic salt, but I would do a little tomato, and that's about it. But I definitely have to have lime juice, garlic salt, and tomato, and then maybe some red pepper flakes, and that's about it.
So
here's my thing.
Why, you son of you sexy son sorry, of a gun
Nick,
with that. Sorry,
I know, I'm just, that's,
go
a, that's
ahead,
Grandma
go ahead,
Gutierrez right there.
Hey, Grandma. So I'm not trying to make it definitive. I'm trying to change my attitude on social media. And we don't have to have clear-cut winners.
No. Yeah.
We can all agree that our own is really good. But
I'm going to try the corn nuts and guac, though.
Yeah. So
you're making me think outside the box. I'm going to try it. Yeah, I will.
That's all I'm trying to do in this pandemic.
Crunch.
Simple, creative solution.
Thank you.
I like most guacamoles. There's different ones that I like more than others. I will say that I love a Chipotle guacamole. I think it's my favorite guacamole restaurant style. And that's where I went to the red onion because I usually, Nick, I usually agree with you that I don't like red onion on my burger. I hate it in my salad. It's too overpowering in a salad. But with guacamole, I feel like it gives the avocado a kick. The only time you want red onion is if you want a little bit of kick added to it, because and you don't want too much because red onion is very overpowering compared to yellow onions. So
you
I'm
have to mute
I
my
urge
microphone.
You to try yellow,
Jake. Yeah.
I know. I do not like all guacs because there's a new trend that's starting to fruit the guac, like mango, spicy mango guac.
Nah,
I'm like,
they're getting too fancy.
Yeah, like, give it a rest.
Mango guac for you?
No mango guac. No
guac
fruit. No fruit in my guac.
Little fruit yeah. salad
no.
guac for you?
Yeah. Avocado is the only fruit. Maybe a little tomato.
My mom would knife you. My mom would knife you if you tried to throw mango and some avocado.
Yeah, right? No. Yeah.
She'd cut you.
She definitely cut you.
Because I would try to add stuff to the guac, and my grandma, all you use is smack my hand.
Yeah, she would.
Get your hand smacked. You try to put any of that nonsense in there.
Right.
Look, you're like, what the hell's wrong with you? Nick Leckie,
exactly.
We planned on talking about college football, but this has been far more entertaining for me at least. But let's make that transition. Long ago, when we started the segment, we heard Scott Frost talking about hey, look, they want to play in the Big Ten, but if there's no Big Ten football, they want to play anywhere. And so now this is going to be very interesting the way this is all shaking out. What you played college football for K-State. You were an All-American. You know what it's like, and you can understand how the players feel right now that want to play. What's your stance on all this, man? Because there's words and positions flying all over the place right now.
First of all, Scott Frost is a gangster. He pretty much said, hey, we'll play wherever. And he said, you know what he said? He said, come through. That's what he said. He didn't say square up. He said, come through. We'll entertain all offers, right? He said, come through. He said, you know, hey, he said, we're having a party over here. We're having a good time. And he said, come on over. We'll take any and all applicants, right? And I respect that mentality because it's like, I mean, who says you have to? Well, I guess you kind of have to, but toe the company line in this sort of new era, right? I get what he said about you know, City of Lincoln, athletic department, and the other sports, right? I mean, football carries the torch for all the other sports. You know, it's the big revenue generator, and so I get that aspect too, and I also get the safety aspect. But I'm a big believer, right? Mask up, you know, wash your paws, social distance, all that stuff. But if they're already practicing, you know, what's to be said for them to travel to somewhere else and play, right? And have some flexibility in case people get hurt or people get contracted COVID, right? It'll spread. It'll spread like wildfire. But if, you know, if you're able to live in a bubble, somewhat of a bubble, and maintain some proper hygiene, man, I feel like this can be done. I mean, they're practicing already, and people are playing games, so they've shown it can be done.
So, I was thinking about this. If the Big Ten doesn't end up playing, right, and Nebraska wants to play, people have thrown out there the idea that maybe they would join like the Big 12 for a season, or that the Big 12 could let them in. If you're the Big 12, would you take that? Now, first of all, I think that's pure fantasy. I've seen that they've already said, look, there's all kinds of TV rights issues that Nebraska would have to negotiate, way more complicated. But let's just, for the fun of it, say that they could. If you were the Big 12, would you take this opportunity for total spite to say, nah, you left. You know, you're out. You know, we're not letting you in. We're going to play and you can't play. Or would you let them back in for like this 1 year?
If I was Commissioner Bowlesby, I would respond to Scott Frost, not in the DMs, but on his timeline, open, in public, and I'd say, come through. Come through.
Just two words.
Let's do this. Get it. Whatever, you know? And, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. I mean, they're old school. They're 110 miles from Manhattan, Kansas. You know what I'd say, too? Colorado, come through. Right? Let's get the band back together. Let's get the Big 12 North back together. You know, and I think it'd be awesome. You know, if you want to play, you want to play. And like I told my kids early on in this quarantine, there are no more rules. Right? We're writing the rule books right now as we speak. So I feel like this, we could get a one-off where, hey, you know what? If you want to play, you want to play.
Hey, maybe you call up Missouri too and say, hey, you don't want to play like LSU, Alabama, and all the other teams are throwing. Come back to the Big 12 North. You get to play Kansas. You know, you get to, you know, you soften it up a little bit.
And I like the idea of traveling by bus to reduce transportation costs, right? I mean, we have to keep in mind an eye for budgets, for athletic budgets. And if you got places where you're 4 hours away, you know, I know Colorado's 8 hours away. Maybe they could meet up in Hayes and play somewhere in Hayes 4 hours away.
Colby, the oasis of the plains, baby.
Right, exactly. They could. So, you know, you could do bus trips, right? Anywhere that's close to a bus. That way you're reducing costs. And then, you know, it's you know, safe for the players. And maybe you could schedule the games at night and play the game at night. And then you should bus home afterwards and sleep on the bus, right? And you save on hotels.
Can we get you on the next conference call involving the powers that be or anyone? Just
come through.
Yeah, come through.
Come through.
Yeah.
Come through. See if anyone.
Hashtag come through.
Let's get a group text to say, sup. Yeah,
exactly. Sup, girl?
S you up.
Party up in Lincoln. But no, honestly, I do. And, right? I mean, I feel like if you want to make a decision, I could see if they weren't organized already. And not practicing, but I just saw K-State's on their fourth day of camp, Things are looking fairly good. I feel like there's enough information out there to protect yourself, and other sports leagues have done it. And, you know, I always like football as you know, the true, you know, forget baseball. American football is the true, is as baseball as apple pie, or as American as apple pie. It's football, and it's college football, right? You know, we it's pure. It's still relatively pure.
Well,
kind of pure, not really pure, but it's fun.
I feel like a great American pastime also, though, is suing people. That seems to be a big hobby.
Yeah, let's add that. Being obese.
That too. But I think that I feel like that's one of the big issues right now that these presidents are dealing with, is because of the amateurism situation. The NCAA came out with all these rules that if you're going to return to play in fall sports, you have to follow these rules. And one of the rules is you cannot ask your players to sign a COVID waiver that says you'll never sue. And I can see these presidents, when these studies come out, going, man, we got lawsuits just lining up left and right. If something happens 5 years from now and these guys end up with heart disease or something like that, and that, don't you think, I mean, that governs so many decisions in American society these days, you know?
Absolutely. I'll scroll through Instagram and Twitter, and it's like class action lawsuit this, class action lawsuit that. And I'm against having a player sign a waiver. But then I also feel like if you choose to play, like, and, you know, we don't know any of the long-term ramifications of COVID. Or, you know, I remember Von Miller talking about it took him a while to come back, and other people where, you know, they've had, you know, damaged lungs and damaged, you know, heart post-COVID after the recovery, you know, diminishes things. So I think everybody's body reacts differently to it as well. So I think it's something where, I would never ask them to sign something. But you got to be like, hey, listen, you play, don't be coming back at us 5-10 years from now. You chose to play. But you're right. That would be that. I'm sure that's the thorn. That is the thorn for sure. But they're already practicing, so what's the deal?
Right.
Nick Leckie is our guest. Nick, an important question from the text line. What flavor corn nuts?
Oh, okay. Mm. So original. Mm. Try original first, because I tried Doritos and guac. I try it often, and I want to love it, but it's too much of a good thing, right? Doritos are the only chip you can eat solo.
It overwhelms the senses.
So are we talking like nacho cheese Doritos or like Cool Ranch?
The only Dorito, red.
The red ones.
I'm not a fan of Cool Ranch.
You don't like the Cool Ranch?
I like red. No, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan.
Okay.
It doesn't agree with my taste buds. It's
I like the Cool Ranch.
I'll eat it. Hey, don't get it twisted, Jake. I'll eat it.
Okay.
I just don't prefer it. Right?
You're not coming through for it.
If there's only only like the blue bags out there, you're going to take a blue bag.
I'll do it, and I'll be like, I'm mad at myself for wasting calories, but yeah, I'll do it. It's, you know, it'll tide me over, and I love eating Doritos standing up in my bathing suit over holidays, summer holidays.
So you weren't
that's when I can eat a whole bag.
You weren't a big salsa verde guy? The Doritos.
I'm a big verde.
The salsa verde Doritos, though.
Doritos? No, I haven't.
Oh yeah.
What about Takis?
You know what I've gotten into? Yes, Nate. Yes.
Thank you.
I've gotten into Takis.
Takis are good. You should see what I can do with a bowl of guac and a bag of Flamin' Hot Limon Cheetos. Oh boy.
Oh man.
Yeah, just go ahead and lock the door.
See, I haven't
gotten
into
this. Yeah. By the way, our boy Guapo. Just sent us a picture of tahine, which he says you could put it in the guacamole, but we used to do, my buddy Ruben taught me, is slice up cucumbers and sprinkle tahine on top, and that's a good appetizer too.
What? That sounds delicious. Cucumbers are a perfect vehicle.
Yeah,
there are several restaurants that offer that, and it's very good.
Mm.
So.
What's tahine? What is that?
It's a lime chili spice.
Yeah, it's a, you know, like in a little Mrs. Dash type bottle. You know, seasoning.
It's a dry rub type of seasoning.
It's something you can put on everything and be happy with it.
Everything tastes good with it.
Right.
That's a good call, putting it in your guacamole. I've never done that. I think that could work.
Yeah, like Jake was saying with the pepper flakes.
Yeah.
It's
like different things you could do that are subtle that add to the deliciousness, but boy, I just haven't heard any wrong answers. I'll eat them all.
Nick, what about chicharrones? Have you guys sampled chicharrones? Have you guys put those in your regular rotation? Chicharrones.
They have to be fresh.
Pigskin.
Love it.
Oh yeah.
You can buy them in a bag.
Oh yeah.
It's like primal, right? Or it's like
see, but like that's what like going over to my grandparents' house. They never had chips. That's always what they had.
Right.
Chicharrones. Hey, Grandma, could I have some chips? Okay, mijo, she give me a big bowl of.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Not even a big bowl. It looks like a flank. Looks like a pillow. Like it's like the size of like ribs, and you got to break up the chicharrones and put some hot sauce on that.
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. That's good on
Stop
guac,
it.
By the way.
I got another half an hour on the air, Nick. I can't do anything about any of this. Stop it. We have Nick Leckie on the line. Okay, Nick, let's talk briefly about your Kansas City Chiefs, who we heard from Andy Reid and Sammy Watkins and some others, Patrick Mahomes, over the weekend. And we've been talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire since Damian Williams opting out has raised the expectations for the Chiefs rookie running back. And then Lewis Riddick sent out the stunning tweet that he should be the number one overall pick in your fantasy draft. Nick Leckie, now what are your expectations for Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Well, I don't know. I always feel like Jake would know best, but you got to look at what's available and look at him just being a small part of a big thing, right? And you got to think, is Christian McCaffrey going to get more touches, or is Saquon Barkley going to get more involved in on the offense? And if you look at, his impact, Clyde Edwards-Helaire impact on this offense is going to be fantastic. You know, he's ready to roll, you know, coming from a pro-style offense in LSU. And then, so he's going to get utilized. That's for damn sure. You know, red zone efficiency is my favorite stat, by the way. It's the only stat I'll listen to. And the Chiefs are really good at scoring touchdowns in the red zone. So, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire could be a big part of that, but you got to look at your comps, right? You got to look at Saquon. You got to look at Christian McCaffrey. You know, are those guys going to get more touches in that red zone? Or are those guys going to get more focused in on? So it's something you have to look at and you have to kind of analyze. You know, Jake, what do you think?
I have a question for you guys about this.
Go for it.
So we were talking about rookies, what's fair to expect of a rookie running back. And I pointed out that Kareem Hunt, Ezekiel Elliott, and Saquon Barkley all had their best years to this point as rookies. But Christian McCaffrey, it was 3 years in when he went for over 1,000 rushing and 1,000 receiving. So here's what I'm curious, what all three of you guys think. Would you put money on Christian McCaffrey to replicate that again this year? He's still in his prime. He's still young. Or do you think he'll take like a step back statistically this season from that ridiculous year that he had a year ago?
Whew.
Isn't that hard to say?
Because of the ridiculous.
He could take a step back and still,
right.
still be it's unbelievably still,
yeah,
productive.
Yeah, like 1,800 yards total would be a step back.
Because the bar is so high.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to replicate
what
that
are
receiving.
But you're talking about a different coach.
Yeah.
And a different system and a different quarterback now. And so it's kind of an unknown. I don't know. You know?
That's what's crazy about
like it's that's what's going to be interesting about it. Like how will they use him the same way or will it change at all?
I think Matt Rhule went there, right, from Baylor. He went to Carolina.
Yes.
Good grief. Christian McCaffrey all the way. I forgot about that, man.
That dude's number. Yeah, he's the number one pick. I mean, that's the guy.
With Matt Rhule, with that Baylor offense. Yeah,
116 catches last year.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like it'd be ridiculous for him to replicate it.
How does Teddy Bridgewater being his quarterback affect it, or does it?
Nice.
I don't think it changes that much. I don't think it. I mean, I think he's. I think if it, I don't think it hurts it. Put it that way. I don't think it takes away from it. I don't think he's going to take. I don't think he's going to take a step back because of Bridgewater. But I don't think he's going to.
It's always a little, just a cause for a little bit of pause.
Yeah, it's a variable.
There's like new head coach, new quarterback, and
it's definitely
see
a variable. But it's almost they'll rely on him
like
more.
Thinking, we ain't going to the playoffs this year. I'm not going to run the hell out of this guy. I'm going to be a little bit more conservative with his touches. I mean, who knows? Who knows what he's thinking?
Well, here's the advantage when you have a new coach and a new quarterback, right? You know, first 5, 6, 7, 8 games of the season, they have no data points. You know, they have, you know, Matt Rhule's offense, at Baylor from last year. They have Teddy Bridgewater in New Orleans last year, right? They have, you know, no data points and nothing. They have nothing to scheme off of. So they might sneak some teams early and be like, shoot, we are not prepared for this offense or what Teddy B's doing with McCaffrey. So it could be like he's a rookie again, right, where you don't know what to expect from him. And, you know, I think that motivation, a new head coach is always motivating.
Do you have any concern that a guy who is 5'11", 205 pounds, got 400 touches last year, and whether or not, you know, that's going to take a toll on his production, you know, coming into this year?
No, I don't. He's still young.
He's only 24.
These athletes are unreal, and recovery is a big thing nowadays. And so with technology being utilized, I feel, and if he learns to go out of bounds on the sidelines, as I say, or if, you know, if he's beat, you know, or if he's tackled to go down, you know, don't take those extra hits. You know, this is a different game now. You know, ball carriers are protected, and there's a little bit more, not a brotherhood, but there's not any longer the days of the 80s and 90s when you played for one team forever. And you just wanted to go out there and rip someone's head off. You want to do that, but you're not going to do it in a way that injures other players, because there's a thing called karma, right? You just don't do that. So, yeah, you don't see those deadly shots anymore. So now you can increase – running backs can increase their career horizons, and they can also number of carries doesn't matter because you're smart runners now, very smart.
Okay, this question will be for the entire panel.
Okay.
Speaking of fantasy drafts, and this is just we'll just look 1 year, not a dynasty draft. So we're just looking for a one-year league. You need a wide receiver, and and you feel it's right, you know, middle rounds, it's time to pick your wide receiver. And both Mecole Hardman and Sammy Watkins are available. Who do you pick?
Sammy.
I'm going Hardman.
Nice.
Okay, so here's just the numbers from last year. So Hardman played in the 16 games, started 5, had 26 catches for 538 yards and 6 touchdowns. Sammy Watkins, in 14 games, 13 starts, had 52 catches for 673 yards and 3 touchdowns. And that was last year.
I just love, to me, like, the difference maker to me is people forget that when Sammy Watkins catches the ball, he turns into a flipping running back. He likes contact, and he is a tough-nosed, hard runner. And that's why I low-key love Sammy Watkins, because he gets that ball, and it's like he's looking to be the hammer and not the nail. And it's like, beautiful.
And what stands out to me, so like Watkins in 90 targets had the 673 yards and 3 touchdowns, right? Hardman, 41 targets, had 538 yards and 6 touchdowns. He averaged over 20 yards a catch.
Yeah. Mecole Hardman, he's involved in jet sweeps too and some of the screens.
Yeah.
And he can make
I just think
happen.
it's an interesting question.
To me, the whole question there is going to be how much has and does Mecole Hardman progress as a route runner? You know, I mean, I think so far most of what I've seen him do on a football field is pure speed related. And that part is great because you can't teach that part, right? Like, you can't really improve that much on your speed. You either have it or you don't. You can improve the route running part of it. And I think it seems to me like the ability to run those intermediate routes and some of the other things that maybe Sammy Watkins has shown the ability to progress at and do makes him more of a candidate for more targets. But if Mecole Hardman improves, look at how much Tyreek Hill improved in his route running from, like, you know, as he became more and more of a pure wide receiver. And I'm going to be interested to see how quickly and how much Mecole Hardman improves in that area. The reason I would have taken Sammy Watkins is because I think I already know that he can, you know, he's got the trust of Patrick Mahomes to be where he's supposed to be and get open when he's supposed to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it right? does. You're right. But like, Paul Hardman's more of the punt returner, right? Get him in the open field.
How much is it? How much of it, like we talked about in you know, we had Matt Derrick on talking about rookie receivers under Andy Reid, but how dramatic is the step that a wide receiver will take from their rookie year to their second year? Like Nate said, just knowing where you're supposed to be, having it second nature, running the right routes, that's if a receiver is doing what it's supposed to do, then that there is a dramatic step that they could take from year one to year two, right?
Being in the same system with the same quarterback second year is night and day, right? Because you know what routes Mahomes likes to throw. You know where he's putting balls. And then on the same at the same time,
where is he putting balls at? Nick, could you tell us that?
On the chest, right? Right in an area where it'll avoid contact from oncoming safety.
That's
but then
right.
he'll also have stuff where he just knows they know each other intuitively, and that year one to year two, it's the same system, same quarterback. It's a cool thing, and once you're comfortable with the routes, you can start putting your spin on things. You can recognize if there's a safety blitz coming, corner blitz, how to read the defense. You kind of improve your game just a little bit, right? You learn the adjacent space next to you. You understand the route concepts, and know your place and what to do and how everyone else interacts with that. So it's a huge step year one, year two.
Jake, who'd you pick?
Hardman.
Not an easy choice, though, is it?
No, it's not. It's not, but I think...
Did you realize their numbers were so close from last year?
I did because I was heavy on...
Because you're a fantasy football guru.
I was heavy on Sammy Watkins. He was available as a free agent in my Dynasty League, and that's an auction, so you're bidding on guys. And Watkins is heavy. I mean, people were all over him. But just looking at the numbers, in most 12-round mock drafts, Hardman goes first. His average draft position is 126, opposed to Watkins... 146.
Oh, really?
But if you're looking at auctions, Hardman's going for $2 less on average than Sammy Watkins in an auction draft. So, people value Sammy Watkins more in terms of auction value, but in drafts, people are drafting Hardman earlier than Watkins.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I have no clue what you just said, Jake.
That is split. It's really even. It's a really hard decision. I think that's what mostly what I'm trying to say is that it's a split and it's really close. I think you can't really go wrong with one of the guys.
Right.
It's a
coin flip.
Would
guess like if it's a dynasty draft, then that would give the edge to
Hardman. Yeah.
Right. But
in a dynasty because he's younger, he's got more years.
Yeah.
Keep him.
Right.
That why. Okay.
That's right.
That's
right.
Amazing.
You go with if it's close, then you go with the younger guy, the youth.
Wow.
Let's go back to the text line.
I didn't know that world.
Been surprising.
Yeah.
This has been surprisingly productive.
Oh,
today
I live
on
in that
text
world.
Line.
Let's do a call. I like call-ins too. I like call-ins. Remember the one time we had a call-in, and he was talking about he's acting like a kid in a candy closet. That was the greatest
That's
call-in
right.
ever.
Absolutely.
You're from
the candy closet. It's
about
fantastic.
Celebrating. I want to be. It sounds great.
I'd like to have one.
Everything but black.
Somebody from the text line reminds us that tajin on watermelon is delicious,
ooh,
and that is very
ooh,
wonderful. And someone says they enjoy it on orange slices. It's one of those things where really any fruit, mango, whatever you put it on, it makes it better. But also, I put hot sauce on everything I could possibly eat, so you're maybe asking the wrong person here. Finally... I don't know what this has to do with anything, but someone asks.
Hey, let's hear it.
After eating the, after eating corn nuts with the guac, do you guys recommend a car wash? I don't know why that's necessary. I don't think a car wash
car?
Has.
Because
it's quick and easy, and your car gets a thorough hand job.
Okay. That's why. Yeah. Well, you got to use a spoon. Use a spoon. Right. We're not totally, Cretans, right? We're not, use a spoon. That's the whole purpose of it.
You know what? Divorce yourself from that last comment there. No one needs a car wash right now. Thank you.
Let's do a redo. Let's go back in time. And, gloss over that one.
Right? So really can. Wishing that was possible.
Yeah, can we go back about 17 years ago? But...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really? What's that? What's 17 years ago?
It's when I started working here.
Wow. Whoa. Hey,
real talk. Real talk Tuesday, Dick. I like that. Lord. I like that.
No.
What happened, Dick? What's wrong?
Let me clean that up. Let me go back 21 years ago so I could do it all over again. That's how much. Do you hear me, Chad? I love it. I'm like Randy Newman, and I love. We love it.
We love LA.
I love 810. Nick Leckie, thank you very much for your time. Do you have any big plans this week? Of doing anything? Fun?
No.
Oh, good.
No big plans.
Go catch some fish and drink some Dos Equis.
He's gonna go sprinkle some tahini and some guacamole.
I was going to tell you, I know you don't have a big Zoom call on your plans because that still hasn't happened, even though we've been.
Oh, no, lazy.
Jake, I'll do it if you don't want to.
I'll do it. Gurley was giving me crap. Gurley was in the studios yesterday, and he was harassing me, too.
Everybody wants to have late night with the Border Patrol round two.
I think everybody just wants me to work.
But if you don't want to do it, then just tell us.
It's organizing something. I don't know. It's kind of.
Have we gotten to that point in our lives where it's difficult to send a text?
Yeah. Nate, offer to do it again so we can tell you to F off.
Yeah. Then it'll really happen.
Hey, Jake, you know what? I've got a business account on Zoom so I can do unlimited minutes if you want me to do it for you.
I'll do it. I'll get it sent out today.
Screw you, Nate.
You went there, Thursday.
I'll do it, Nate. I'll do it, all right?
This is Nick. This is my favorite version of Jake, when you ask him to do something and he doesn't do it, but then when someone else volunteers to do it, then he's like, "No, I'll do it," doesn't do it. Yeah, he's just roadblocking at every turn right here. It's fantastic. You know what I mean?
He doesn't just say "I'll do it." He cusses you out too, right? Though, like you're a complete a-hole for offering to help.
Man, it's still never true.
Is the important right?
Let's do one and post it. Let's do one and post it. So we'll keep it somewhat PC, but we can still cut, right?
Yeah, we can.
On that.
Yes.
Let's do one and post it, and let's see. Let's just have a total free-for-all. All right.
I think we should have one or two hand-picked listeners like El Guapo.
Okay.
I would like to have El Guapo involved in it just a little bit. Right. I mean, they'd have to... There had to be some kind of application process. They could send us an email.
We
and
have
say,
fine
this
listeners.
This is what I would bring to the late night Zoom chat with Gurley and Leckie and right
put it on Twitter.
Okay,
but it's not just like we're just not going to give it away. They have to bring like obviously El Guapo could make some delicious
pork
food
bellies
for us and watch something, whatever. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to add to the mix? That's all I'm looking for. We'll make it happen, Nick. I promise.
Inane comments and black holes into nothingness, right?
You're in.
Like Seinfeld, right? That's what it is. It's a show about nothing.
So, Nick, here's the deal before we let you go. I finished all five seasons of Peaky Blinders, and I love it. It's fantastic. So, I recommend you will love it. My highest recommendation. And so now I'd ignored this show since it started 2 months ago on HBO, and so I caught up on the new Perry Mason series, the 8 episodes. And let me tell you something. It's fantastic. Real good.
He was great in The American.
You like it? You like him?
Oh, I love him. He's fantastic. Oh my gosh, what an actor.
He's terrific.
Just a fantastic actor. Just a fantastic thespian. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. Just pure... Just Daniel Day-Lewis type stuff. Into it, man.
Wow.
Just you feel that character. I can feel Perry Mason, from the 80s just being like, no, this is Perry Mason. When people start referring to Perry Mason, then you start referring to, well, not the 80s, the 60s, whenever the heck it was, is Matthew Reese. That's what it's going to be. Or whatever.
I appreciate your enthusiasm for for all of this, and we will talk to you next week, Nick.
Awesome. Thanks, Jen.
That's Nick Leckie. Thank you very much to Nick Leckie for being generous with his time. We'll be back after this on WHP.